bring this word today right out. And this is from this. I don't use this one a lot, but this is a New King James Version. And you may not have that version, and I'll tell you why. As we start off, there is a reason I'm using New King James today, and I'm very careful about translations. Once in a while, we'll talk about those, and let me just say to you that I'm, for just understanding, for just practical, real easy understanding, I use the New Living Translation a lot. And that's because it's just easier to read, and a lot of times it does kind of, it has the way it illustrates is really good. But if you want to study, really study Scripture, it's really hard to get too far away from the New King James Version. It's a modern English, but it's in my studies and what I like to do, it's more literal. If you want more, if you like to do word by word, and you say, that's a little too much of a modern English word for me. What? Let me get back. The New International is a good translation also, but there are some things that I don't appreciate, and I'll give you one today. And this is not to get into a seminary class on translation or anything like that, but it's sometimes it's important stuff. And I'll read this to you, then I'll explain. But we're going to talk about God delivering us, Jesus delivering us from spiritual darkness, and what we have to watch for so that it doesn't creep back in. And then I'll give you this one little textual. This is a textual criticism, and so you'll know what I'm talking about. In Colossians 1, verses 13 through 22, this is where we're going to deal with today. And in the title of this, Jesus is supreme, and he's supreme over all creation. And we need to keep that in mind. Jesus is supreme over all creation, everything. And we'll read about this. And so it reads like this: he has delivered us. It uses he a lot, meaning Jesus. So we're talking about Jesus, God, Jesus, same thing. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Has everybody got that up there? Okay, there it is. All right. Christ is the image. I'm going to say Christ instead of he. Is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Christ all things were created. They are in heaven and on earth. Everybody get this. Everybody let this soak in, because there's nothing on this earth out of control. That God, nothing is over God. Nothing's getting away with something and sneaking by the Lord. Because, and that's why this was written to say, listen, it says he is Christ is over all creation. He's the firstborn. But it gets better. Not that I understand it, and neither will you totally, because here's what it says. For by Christ all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth. And then the next one is a real kicker, because it says visible and invisible. And that always just makes me gnarly, you know. So it says there's an unseen world, and you know, there is an unseen world, and that's where all these principalities and powers mess around. And there are Christians, and I have people that have debated this with me, and I know there's churches. I've had pastors say, yeah, well, I'm not even going to bring messages on that. I don't want my people even thinking about that. It's like, well, they better know about it, because it's sneaking into their lives. Ignorance, like they say, is no excuse. And ignorance of the law is no excuse, but people put their head in the sand, and it says everything visible and invisible is created by him, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. That's things you can see and the things you can't see. And all things, everything, it says, was created through Christ and for Christ. And Christ is before all things, and in Christ all things consist. And Christ is before all, in him everything consists. He's the head of the body. This is just fantastic and almost overwhelming, too much stuff. We won't cover it all today. But he's the head of the body of the church. And keep that in mind, because this has been controversial. And you say, why? Because look at how many in other denominations and church and churches that Christ is not the head of the church. Dr. So-and-so is, or a bishop is, or a whatever is, but Jesus is the head of the church. And I don't care how many robes a guy wears, or a girl, or whoever it is. I don't care how many robes, or what kind of a turban they have on, or what kind of a headgear. It doesn't make any difference, and I don't care how much gold they wear, and I don't care how many candles they burn. Jesus Christ is the head of that church, and no matter how much they're adorned with, they're only under shepherds, just like me. That's it. That's the best you're going to get on this earth. And they may walk around with rings saying, "Kiss my ring." And I'm not going to kiss anybody's ring, or foot, or any other part of anything. Everybody with me? Because the only one that we're ever to bow down to, and I will kiss his hand, and that's Jesus Christ. Okay? I will. And I'll kiss his feet too. And I'll do whatever. Yes. But bow down to another person? No, sir. Will not. I'm not going to. And I don't care what man says I'm supposed to do. And I'm not going to bow to one. And you just think these things over. Christ is the head of the church. He's the beginning, firstborn from the dead. And in all things he can what? Have the preeminence. That means he's got it. He's it. He's over it. He has the preeminence. He's over it all. He has the glory. For it pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness should dwell. Catch this stuff. It pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness should dwell. What does that mean? It pleased the Father that in Christ all of God's fullness would dwell in him. So when you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. And you need to catch this stuff for what it is. And the New King James, that's why we're doing a little more of a textual work today. That brings that out. It's in him, the fullness of God is all there. So when you see Jesus, you see the fullness of God. God is in Christ. They're the same. Is everybody good with this? Christ is not inferior. And he say, I can't fathom that. Well, I want to tell you something. Those that say that they can fully fathom that, they are so full of it, they don't even need to be up here telling you anything. Because the truth is, how do you really, really get it all? That Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, how do we work that out as people? How that all works? They're all equal. They're all the same. God knows how. We accept it by faith. The closest I've ever gotten is an old worn out illustration, but it's all I have, the best I know, on how to illustrate that. You know, if I take a cup of water here in front of you, it's water. And I pour it in an ice tray and put it in the freezer, it becomes ice. Is it still water? But it's in a different form. And if I take that ice and I put it on a hot burner, what does it become? Steam. But is it still water? Yes. And so it's all the same, but in a different form and performing a different function, but it's still water. And that's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's all the same, but doing different functions so that we can get it. And that's the only way I've ever been able to identify with it. You know, it's the water. It's all God, but they do different things. And it's God doing it in different ways, but it's all him and the way he chooses to do it, if that helps anyone. And so Jesus has all this fullness, and by Jesus reconciles, to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. This is a lot to swallow. And you who once were alienated, an enemy in your mind by wicked works, yet now Jesus has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Everybody get this? And so you can read this and sum it up and say, in spite of it all, and all of it I don't even understand in this passage, at the very end, what really counts is that Jesus has reconciled me when I was an enemy and I was alienated from him. He's reconciled me, you, all of us. And he presents us to God, how? Holy and blameless and above reproach. Now, how do you figure that? But he does. When you ask Jesus in your heart, this is what you get. When you repent of your sins, you ask Christ to come into your life, you're presented before God holy and blameless and above reproach. Is anybody living a life that's really blameless and holy and above reproach in here? But you're presented that way to God because Christ in you, He's your hope of glory. And that's what makes this whole thing is so incredibly powerful. But let me go back to the textual problem. In the New King James, it does this correctly. It says, He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I'm not going to harp on this. This is not, like I say, a seminary class on translation. But let me tell you. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. If you look in the NIV, you look in the New Living Translation, they omitted that. They have, in whom we have redemption, and then they go to the forgiveness of sins and they don't put through His blood. What a foolish mistake. And it's called transliteration. This is what happens when you translate past, and listen to me, there's a translation and there's a transliteration. A translation is when I go back to all the oldest original manuscripts and I translate from the Greek and the Hebrew, Aramaic, I translate from that into English. Okay? But a transliteration is I take something that's already been translated into English and then I make that more English. And in the process, one of the most important aspects of this whole thing is it's left out in those two translations through His blood. Well, we can't, listen to me, we can't have redemption unless it's through the blood of Jesus. And so don't throw away your NIV, don't throw away your New Living Translation, because I use it in a lot of things, but just know that is a textual error. And what you'll see at the bottom in the footnotes is some manuscripts have this and some don't. The oldest manuscripts do. Some of the more what they consider modern manuscripts don't. But the whole thing is common sense there in a translation. You don't have redemption. You can't be redeemed, it says. The Scripture tells you that without what? The shedding of blood. So if any of you have a textual problem, then hopefully that will do it. We have redemption through His blood, and you won't find that in some other translations, I'm sorry to say. But that's not the essence of the message, but I wanted to bring it out so that when you're reading, you need to catch these things and say, oops, this transliteration is not real good. Not in this area. So, you know, go back to the one that does the job, and that's why on certain passages I'll bring you a different translation. It may be the NIV, it could be the NLT, and it could be this New King James, but whichever one brings it out the most accurately and clearly, that's what you're going to get, because that's my job, to bring you the truth and bring it as openly and as simply and as most clearly understood as we can bring it. So now that we've said all that, we're not going to stay on that any longer, but just so you know, and then you can go out now and you can tell thousands of people that you meet, hey, let me show you something in your NIV, in your New Living Translation, did you know? And they'll say, oh, are you a scholar? And you can say, I sure am. You know, I just finished my doctorate in Greek right there, and I just want to show you this. But this is important to know. And this, because without His blood, how are we ever going to be redeemed? How are my sins going to be washed away? So, you know, what a goofy anyway, enough. This is not the place for it. So let me get into this and say to you, the concern, the reason for this message, and I had other messages I was working on. I work on several at one time. I go from one to the other back and forth, and God just puts some brains together. And then sometimes I don't have anything. I'm sitting there on Friday going, what's wrong? It's not you. It's obviously me. I'm not getting anything. And then it happens. In this case, there were others. But God just kept bringing this back, and here's what he kept impressing on me in my heart, is that I have delivered you through Jesus Christ from things visible and invisible, from dominions and powers and principalities. But that is creeping back into my churches. It's creeping back into this whole society, and it has been for some time. And let me tell you something. I mentioned this before in Austin, in talking about this Antifa and all these things that are going on out here, is not a rebellion against society. It's not a rebellion against government. They can call it whatever they want. But I said this before, and I believe it from my heart, and I know it's true. It's rebellion against God. It's rebellion against God's authority on this earth. And it's people saying, I want to be God. I want to play God. I want to have a socialistic order where I'm at the top and you're at the bottom and I can tell you what to do. And that's playing God. And it's people saying, I have something, a belief system, and I am going to force you to accept it. And if you don't believe the way I believe, I will reject you. Is that not what's going on? I have people telling me all the time that they have loved ones, people that friends, family that they care about, and they can just bring up something. Oh, and they just shut them off. They don't want to talk to them anymore. Do you realize what they're doing? That is a part of the darkness here to get you to shut up and not believe what you believe. You've got to do it their way. And I'm tired of it. And I'm standing up to it. Friends, you can do what you want to do. If somebody tells me, Tony, I'm sorry, but you know what? I'm not going to talk to you anymore because you stand on the right and you're just too far right. And I'm going to say, well, if that's the case and you're too far left, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more, no more, no more, no more. That's the way I feel. But if you can say, Tony, I respect where you stand. Will you respect where I stand? I'll say, yes, sir. Yeah, of course. You can be over here. I don't agree with you, but you're accepting me. I accept you. But if you're going to tell me that I can't believe what I believe, you know, I have to please you and accept your messed up socialistic ideas, then you can just hit the road. And friends, you say, why are you being that way, Tony? Because if you don't do that, you're allowing darkness to creep into your life, and it's going to get into your family, it'll get into your church, it'll get into your belief system, and before you know it, you are allowing the devil in your life. I'm serious. Don't compromise with the devil to make friends. You say, boy, golly, this is rougher than you use. Yes. Yes, because I see the spirit of darkness that we've been delivered from, these powers and principalities, coming right back at us. And socialism, let me say this, and I know this is going out, but socialism, and I don't care, socialism is a tool of the devil, and it's a polite term for communism. And that means dictatorship. And it means that there is a man, woman, men or women in charge of everybody else telling you what to wear, how to eat, when you can worship, how you worship. They'll tell us what to do and not to do. And friends, in my gospel, in the Bible that I stand for, I have been set free by Jesus Christ, and I will do everything I possibly can to never submit to human rule, ever. Ever. That's darkness. That's darkness. Don't allow it. Don't let it creep in. And I know you. I know this sounds so hard, but I'm watching this. And God put this concern in my heart to just say, speak to my people. Don't play with fire. Don't play with the enemy. Don't compromise in any form. And I'm older than, you know, and I'm when I was younger, I wanted to get along more with people. I don't know. You get older, there's even pastors, as we get older, we get more cranky. And I'm sorry, but we do. And I'll tell you something else that happens here. As you age, you just get to where you're tired of it. You get tired of trying to please everybody. And you finally get an attitude. You know, if somebody don't like you because of the way you are, your accent, or where you're from, or they don't like you because of the way you believe in Jesus Christ, you just say, sorry. Go find some people who believe like you. You know, if you're a turkey, go find some turkeys and run in a flock. I don't care. Hunting season's coming, so watch out. You know what I mean? But go ahead and be out there, you know. Is everybody with me? Please don't let this is not meant to hurt any feelings. This is meant to wake us up. It's to say, God has delivered us. Listen, Jesus is your deliverer and redeemer. That's your first bullet point. So let me get these. I don't want to keep here all day, and you don't want to be here all day. But here's your first bullet point is Jesus. Listen, here's your point up here. Jesus takes you from the worst and puts you into the best. Okay? He's your deliverer, redeemer, and he takes you from the worst and he puts you in the best. Is everybody with me? And there's powers and principalities. And when so here's what happens. You belonged to the kingdom of darkness, the devil's kingdom, and then Jesus Christ tapped on the door of your heart and said, "Let me come in," and you let him come in. That's what it says in Revelation. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open the door, I'll come in and I'll dine with him. And what it means, I'll take up residence and I'll clean everything out. I'll clean your house for you. That's what he's saying. He cleans us up and he forgives us. And though our sins were scarlet, now they're white when Jesus comes in. White as snow. It's beautiful. But what happens is he's wrenched us out of the enemy. He bought us. He paid a ransom for us with his life on the cross. We're good? And he rose again the third day. And it's all great for a while, right? Remember all this? When you first asked Jesus in your heart, and it's like there's a time of protecting grace, and you just have this, so it's almost euphoric. It's fantastic. And then the enemy begins to come back. Now, he can never possess you, but he can absolutely oppress you and make you miserable if you let him. And he tries to subtly get you to compromise and not believe the word like it really is. And there's so much social gospel around us. And there's many, many churches who've given over to this. And when Lee was telling me this morning the message that God put on his heart, is God enough? I thought, oh, how that ties into this message. Can't believe it. I need to hear that. And I told him what I had on my heart and why I was doing it. He said, "Same. That's what happened to me, man. I had to give it. Pretty tough." He said, "Both barrels." Yeah, both barrels. I said, "I got to do the same thing." I said, "I like bringing a little easier message, but it's not up to me." And sometimes we need to hear that darkness is coming in the form of socialistic gospel. And I want to, let me speak to this, and I'm not trying to pounce on any church or anything. It's just the way it is. But that when he said that, and when the music and the bands and all that are not there, is God enough? But what I was thinking was, wow, are we worshiping the form more than the giver of the form? Are we worshiping music, pastors, big names, big churches? Are we worshiping a denomination? Are we worshiping a movement more than God? I mean, you yourself know there's some TV celebrities and there's well-known personages out there that people worship them, and they don't ever say, "I belong to, you know, yes, I go to church." They say, "I go to so-and-so's church." It's not their church. You with me? I go to John Doe's church, you know. I go to this guy's church. And do you hear the way they say it? And they're really identifying. It's like, you have to ask yourself, who are you worshiping? Who are you following? Why are you calling it a man's church? Because it's the church of Jesus Christ. A man's name doesn't belong there. There's no man worthy to have their name tacked on to the body of Christ. You with me? And we've had these church movements, and there's one that just continues, but it's very socialistic, and it's designed not to hurt feelings, not to offend anybody. I'm going to tell you something, friends. And so that's why there's so much music, and I mean, you know, just, I'm not against music, but listen to me. Listen, I love music and worship, but and I like all the other that goes with, but friends, when it comes down to it, we're not here today for all of anything else but to what? To have a relationship and a fellowship with Jesus Christ. And you say, well, all that stuff helps. It helps, but it's not the reason we should be in it. And I've had people, and I was sharing that with Lee. I said, you know, Lee, I've had a number, and some of you know this, and they weren't rude. They were just honest. They were just telling the truth. We've had people over the years since we've been here come here and say, you know, I like you guys. I like the preach. I like your message. But I need that big band. I want 45 minutes of music, and you don't have that. So I'm going down the road where they have it. And it's like, is church about you? And I want to tell you something. The social gospel we've gotten into in this country is, yes, that is the truth. It has become more about the person, pleasing people, than honoring God. And that's darkness. And because that's happened, we've lost sight of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. And because Christianity's not doing that, that's why our government's in the shape it's in. It's the truth. We don't have the Christian influence. They're not scared of us like they used to be. There was a time that people in positions like that, they didn't push the church very far because the church was powerful and it pushed back. And today, they kick the church, and the church takes it. It's true, isn't it? Because we've fallen into, it's about me. I want what I want. I want everything to be pleasing to me. Instead of, oh God, I come in here and let everything about me be pleasing to you. You're to pray every week, God, put in Tony's heart what is pleasing to you. Guide his life so that he's pleasing to you. Not to us, to you. Keep him godly. Keep him filled. I ask you to do that. Pray for Lee. He's your associate here now. God, pray for him. And pray for each other that we be godly people, that we be spirit-filled people. It's hard enough as it is. We need everything we can get. So he's delivered us from spiritual darkness. And you know what that is? That means your heart blinded. When you're in spiritual darkness, your heart blinded to God. Your heart can't see in your heart. And Jesus comes into your life and he takes this control of sin. The devil has you in his clutches and he rips you out of the devil's claws. That's what his death and resurrection did. And he sets you out here and says, I set you free and I make you clean and your sins are now white as snow and they're cast into the depths of the sea and removed as far as the east is from the west. And he delivers me from the enemy's kingdom and he says, you are holy and blameless and above reproach now. Don't let the darkness creep in. Get in the Word. Pray. Look at the Word. You don't have to just live in it all day long, but think it. That's what Ephesians says, just making music in your heart to the Lord God. See, God loves music, but he wants the music to be about him. If I ever got up and sang a song for you, you'd realize, oh, this is not going to be pleasing to us, but God loves that joyful sound to him, and that's about the best you'd get. He saves us. He delivers us. He fixes our lives and he cleans us up. Oh, are you with me here? Watch what you're watching. Watch what you're reading. And be very careful who you're listening to. Anytime I bring a message to you, it's not me. It's what God's put on my heart. But I want you to check it out and read about it, and read the passages before it and after it, and make absolutely certain that we're all on track. Because the best, and I try to be the best I can be, but the best of God's people in translating, interpreting, bringing messages, sometimes things can happen. I brought a message one time, and I don't know why I did this. See, it just happens. There's glitches in the human makeup. But I kept talking about Noah. You know, Noah being the father of faith and leading the people and rescuing Lot, it was Abraham. But somehow Noah did all that. And I preached a whole message. I just wish somebody had held up a hand and said, is that Abraham you're talking about? And I could have got back on track. So the whole message was Noah. And Noah went in there and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And boy, it was a humdinger, except they had the wrong person. And you say, that happens, doesn't it? It happens. I don't know how it happened, but I did that. I heard about it for months afterwards, but I wouldn't straighten out at the time. So if I ever do something like that, just hold up your hand, and I'll stop. And if it's like, I think that's Abraham, right, Tony? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Noah built an ark, didn't he? I'm confused now. Well, somebody built one. So anyway, but are you with me in this? We're all human, but we've got to pray for each other and strive to be as perfected as we can. You with me? He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said that. And that word perfect in the Greek means whole, mature, complete, godly. It doesn't mean without fault. It means whole and mature and complete in godliness. So pray for us that we're all perfected that way. And that's what holy and blameless means. Listen, there's one other thing I need to hit here. I can't finish this message. Just not going to be able to do it. There's too much. But we'll make it a two-parter, okay? Is this okay? Or you might want me to get through this one and get to something a little easier. But this is what's happening in our whole... I see it this is not trying to get political. And in the debate, it's just like, I'm not down on anybody. I saw the debate as nothing but, it was like the epitome, it was the personification of what our society is. That was us. That's us as a society. Arguing, attacking, tearing each other apart. And to me, it was beyond two people there. I thought, this is it. I am watching America right here. And America is tearing itself apart with accusations and blame. We're killing each other instead of grasping our faith and saying, God, I'm walking with you. Put a stop to this. Now, I've heard many people say, oh, I turned it off. And I said, well, I did too. But then when you really think about it, you say, it wasn't them. I think God used that to say, is this you? Have you become like this? Accusing, attacking, snarling, slinging mud? And he pointed his finger right at me. Is this you? You're supposed to be here teaching people to love and honor and respect God, but respect each other. And that was nothing but an exam for all of the whole world. World's watching most of it. And it's like, this is an exam. Are we passing or failing? Is that us? Who was it? What was that little cartoon character? And he said, we have met the enemy and it is us. Who was that? Well, I feel better. Nobody else remembers either. But there was a little cartoon character and said, we have met the enemy and it is us. How profound. And I think we saw us as America, as Christians, on stage the other night. That's where the church has gone. Are going. And maybe that's why God said, bring this message. Let's don't let it happen in our own personal lives. No more snarling, accusing, criticizing, blaming. You got a problem, take it to God. One other thing here, and I said that while ago and I still didn't get to it, so I'm getting to it right now. There's a place where the enemy sneaks in with darkness. And let me hit this real quick. It comes out of Hebrews 12. And let me grab this real quick for you. It says, you won't have it up here. This is just a little note that I put down. And I'm going to share it real quick. It says, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this is always a concern to me. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. And you ever question that? What is he talking about? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You ever wonder what that is? You study Hebrews 12:1 when you get a chance. But one of the things in the notes here, I was thinking through, I said, what does that mean for me? And this is what came, and this is what's in my heart that God gave me. You can study it out and see where you lead on this. And it's like, it's an ingrained sin, Tony. It's a spiritual stronghold. It's the things that is a stronghold in your life, and it can be drugs, It can be alcohol. It can be from suffering physical or mental, emotional abuse. It can be jealousy. It can be anger, lust. It can be, one of the things that is a huge battle for Christians here in our country, anxiety and depression. Those can be enemies, and don't you even think that I'm saying that that's of the devil. I'm saying that the enemy can use that against us, and it can be a stronghold. And so why don't you ask God to break the strongholds in your life? To go to the root and break what maybe you just had a rough childhood, or you were abused, or things went bad for you, and it's caused you to be just so on guard and so hurt. And that's where he's talking about in there, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. In other words, what's causing you to keep falling down in your race for life? What's stealing your joy? What do you keep drifting back into? But I'll tell you, one of the biggest enemies of Christianity today, and you say, well, it's Satan, of course. Yeah, what's he using? You just pray about this, okay? The devil, not only today, but has for a long many centuries, the biggest enemy against Christianity is organized religion. And today, it's social religion that says, we're here to make you feel good so you'll come back and put money in that box or the little plate when it's passed around or whatever it is. I want all of you to win lotteries and put that money in that box. Go right ahead. Of course. But friends, that's not what it's all about. And we're not into social religion. But when you think about it, I know that hits hard, but what was the worst enemy of Jesus in his day? Was it the Romans? It was organized religion, the Jewish religion, the Pharisees, taking organized religion, and they attacked him with the letter of the law. And I thank God that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law for me and for you. And because I couldn't keep 1 minute of it, could you? It says, thou shalt not covet in the Ten Commandments. Those, by the way, are still effective. They're still the same. They're not done away with. And it's like, Tony, do you covet? If I drive by a big old place and I see a bunch of axes out there and those horns going out 34, 36 inches, and I'm looking at all this stuff and this big old beautiful house on the hill, do I get to drive by that and say, nah? I drive by that, stop and look at that, and drool. And there it is. Thou shalt not covet. And I'm going, I'm not coveting. I just wish I had it. How easy it is to do, right? How quick this kind of stuff. And we all do these things. And so I ask you, what is yours? What is the place that hangs you up? Is it your temper? Do you take God's name in vain? Does anybody here just suddenly something will happen and boom, here comes a string of cuss words for you. I mean, just wham. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Okay. Oh, that hit a note. All right. And it gets to be a stronghold, ma'am. Of course, we don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. But it's for everybody, there's something. And so those are strongholds, don't you see? And those are places God's saying, let me in that. Give me that. And let me go even deeper and get in there and snip off, sever. What's causing that? Is it a hidden anger? Is it a hostility? There's something unresolved, and it just, because that's why it just burns right out. Oh, I've heard of many a person, and it comes out before you even, you know, I'll have a lot of people all the time, and I'll be out around them, and they've said, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I've even had people say, would you please go somewhere else right now, because I really need to cuss. We all have those things, but when we let God look in there, are they strongholds? Is that what's snaring us? When you get stressed, what do? Do you go to something you really don't need to do? How many of you, when you're stressed, will overeat? Okay. And I mean, you just run to it, right? I mean, there's something about ice cream. Oh, okay. That's always a winner. And Doritos. What is it with Doritos? So many people say they go to Doritos. They just love those Doritos. There's just these little feel-good stress things. So it's ice cream or it's Doritos, whatever. But ask yourself, why am I turning to that to feel better? Isn't God big enough for me? Is it enough? And you say, Tony, do you do that? There's one of the things that I have to be careful with, and so I limit myself on buying this stuff. There's something about, now, you know, the little caramel candies, the little square. I can chunk one of those in there and just suck on that candy. And if I put one in there, half a package can go down. There's something about, and the dentist tells me all the time, don't do that. You know, those bridges you have in the Army, the military had to do a lot of work and injuries there. But I have bridges, and they said, it pulls the bridge out. It's like, so what I tell myself, I won't chew it. I'll suck on it. And that's okay, you know. I puffed on it, but I didn't inhale. Okay, so we remember. Okay, so same kind of thing. But the whole point, so I can wrap this up, and we'll finish this next time, is, friend, where's darkness creeping in? Do you listen to stuff? Is there movies you watch? Is it friends you're keeping, or places you go? I want to close this, but I'm trying to do it the right way so it's honoring to the Lord and we're on an upbeat thing here. Do you ever go into a store or a place, wherever, and do you feel a resistance? Do you feel something? Do you sense God telling you that this is not healthy? Any place? Don't push it. Don't push it. God's trying to protect you. You ever picked up something you were going to buy and you knew there was a block, a check in your spirit? Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, we've all done it, haven't we? I mean, and when we've not listened, because we just got to have that, it doesn't work for us. It's something wrong. And I've walked into places, and it is, I mean, well-known stores, whatever, and it, suddenly it was like, I need to walk off from here, and I can go around the next aisle, and I'm okay. But there was something wrong there. Something wrong. And I've been going down an aisle in a grocery store, whatever, or, you know, Walmart, HEB, wherever it is. And suddenly, you know, you're coming towards some people, and it's like, stop. Don't go. Don't. Don't engage in conversation. And I engage in conversation everywhere. And it's real hard not to do. But it's like, you better listen. Go away. Do what God's telling you. He's trying to keep you from darkness. You don't know what they're into. You don't know what's there. And this is not to make us all spooky and scared. It's simply to say, stay in the light of Christ. You're the salt and the light of this world. You're the only hope that they have. For crying out loud, stay in tune with the Spirit. Stay in fellowship with God. And if you reach out your hand or your mind to something and you sense a resistance, back off from that and ask God what the world's going on here. And if you don't get peace about it, get away from it. And if there's someone around your life and you keep going to see them or they're, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about. You've been around them. And every time you're around them, you just get down and gloomy and you're just drugged to the bottom. Listen, God's trying to tell you something. That's darkness trying to come at you. Don't let it. Listen, the devil cannot steal your soul, but he can sure whack your joy all to pieces. And I'm not going to give him don't give him the opportunity. I want to be happy, don't you? I want to be healthy. I want to get out there and enjoy life. Stay with it. And so let's just stop right here and say, God has delivered us. And there's powers and principalities. And friends, they're in government and they're entrenched in there and they're attacking and they're coming at Jesus Christ. Well, do you really think at the bottom line of all that's going on, what is the real meaning of the socialism and the stuff we see out there? It's aimed right at God, Jesus Christ. And sooner or later, if we allow it, then there will be the attempt made to shut the churches down, put you out of business, send you back hiding. They already didn't want us to meet again after this whole thing started. Friends, listen, you've got to stand. And the scripture says, put on your spiritual armor, and having done everything, stand. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. That's what the scripture says. And what will the devil do? He'll flee from you. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you, and don't you forget it. And you claim that authority, and you live out here, and go out from this place to say today, and you every day you can get up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice in it and be glad in it. And Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, and I belong to Him, and I trust the blood of Jesus covering me, cleansing me, protecting me, and your will be done in my life this day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our faults, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into trials and testing, Lord. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours, Lord, is the honor, the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord, in Jesus' name, bless your people. Protect your people. Protect each and every one right here this morning. I pray the blood of Jesus over them. And I pray the angels of God keeping them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.